ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति
Yoga, the yoga of distinction of the three gunas we will do today. Now this portion starting from chapter 13 to 18, the focus is on knowledge. We have three equipments, the body, the mind, the intellect, which is enlivened by Atma, the pure consciousness. The goal of human life is to get to that, ultimately the self. That's the absolute goal. All of us are really working only for that. Some of us are, or many of us are doing it unconsciously, unknowingly. Till we get to that goal, we will not be rest content because that is our original state. The example that Swamiji gives is very apt in this context. When you compress a coil spring whose height is 5 feet, you know, the coil spring's height is 5 feet, and you compress that coil spring to 1 foot. When you compress the spring to 1 foot, what happens to your palm?
Pressure.
Wrist pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You release it to 3 feet, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Pressure has reduced, but still there. Release it to 5 feet, then what happens? No pressure. Why? Because it has reached its original state. So the original state of a human being is Atma. But due to the gunas, one is conditioned from childhood, various gunas. And in this conditioning, one goes deeper and deeper and has fallen into delusion. So, to tell you that you are Atma and not Mamta, I think this guy is something wrong, be careful with this guy. But if somebody says you are Mamta, you lost weight, you put on weight, you great, you not great, you're feeling little tired, what is happening to you? Then you say, oh, they are very concerned. Because you think you are Mamta, you have Atma. You are not Mamta possessing Atma. You are Atma expressing as Mamta. This is the difference. So, what has happened is, what is the truth when it is revealed, we become suspicious. What has to be suspected, we are comfortable. Now this is the problem. Are you with me? Now, we have been called from childhood with the name, with this, identified with this body and all that, so we are now completely in that. We think this is the truth. Okay, we may have Atma. I may possess an Atma. And this Jiva. But actually what the truth according to Vedas is, you are not the Jiva possessing Atma. You are the Atma that is expressing as this Jiva, which has been given various names for different forms. Now, therefore, we are a combination of body, mind, intellect and Atma. Now, if you have to achieve that original state, till you do not achieve that original state, there is bound to be pressure. All this pressure that we are going through in life, in samsara, which we think is normal, according to Vedas, is not normal. It's abnormal. You are not in your normal state, therefore you are going through this. Till you reach there, this pressure for pleasure or for happiness will continue. Therefore, they say, you've got to rise above the body, rise above the mind, rise above the intellect and reach Atma. Now, you've got to use all the three equipments to go beyond the equipments and reach Atma. since you have the body, since you have the mind, since you have the intellect, all the three has to be used. You have to nicely integrate all of them and benefit spiritually. An ultimate spiritual glory will come to you when you realize the self. But till then, through integration, while you are the path of spiritual glory, you also continue to live happily, peacefully, and materially successfully in this world. So that is what the yoga does. That's why every chapter is called the yoga, yoga, yoga. Because this will help you to unite. So you got to use the body also, you got to use the mind also, you got to use the intellect also. So when you use the body and act with this knowledge, it's called Karma Yoga. The Karma Yoga was emphasized in the first three chapters. First six chapters, especially the third chapter. Then Bhakti Yoga, which is done with the mind, refinement of your emotions, purification of your emotions, giving control over your emotions. That is in the middle portion, from 7 to 12. Now, using the intellect, you discriminate, analyze, reason, think, and then separate the non-self from the self, or the self from the non-self. That is called jnana. That jnana is emphasized from 13th chapter till 18th. Now, in the 13th chapter, he talked about kshetra, kshetrajna, vibhaga yoga. The yoga distinction between the kshetra field and kshetrajna, the knower of field. Basically, purusha and prakriti. There he talked about how purusha plays and expresses through the prakriti and all that. Then in the 14th chapter, which we'll do summary now, he talks about the prakriti essentially having the three gunas. In our case, our mind has the three gunas. Mind is the prakriti, and as per the mind, the body. And the mind changes, the body changes, even the clothes we wear changes, even the hairstyle changes, even the coloring of the hair changes according to the mind. Everything changes according to the mind. So mind has the gunas, the three gunas. So purusha, playing through the three gunas, is you, me, all of us. Now, while this purusha is playing through the three gunas, we are getting stuck. We are not understanding this first of all. I am trying to gain control, manage, control and rise. You have to have knowledge. There has to be, you must face the situation. You know, somebody has a phobia of going in the lift. Is there any specific name for that phobia?
Claustrophobic.
Okay, that is in any place, it's not only lift.
Yes, particularly I don't know.
It is claustrophobic, yeah, I agree with you. But I was only asking if there is, sometimes we have a special name. So, any phobia for the matter, I'm just giving example of lift, or some people have this phobia of flying in the aircraft. Now, there has to be, there can be a lot of tips and techniques and all that, but ultimately, you need to gain knowledge using your buddhi, and also there has to be a measured, calculated, conscious exposure. Gradual exposure with somebody. You get to know a little bit more about it. You've done it. Then slowly the phobia goes. Anything leads you only if you have awareness. Remember this. Completely. That's why in the fourth chapter he said, the highest purifier, the greatest purifier is knowledge. There's nothing else that purifies other than knowledge. Because once I gain the knowledge, I will not fall in the pit again. Therefore here, he wants to give the knowledge of prakriti also. Purusha, okay, you understood. Little bit more in detail about prakriti. Because prakriti manifests as three gunas. So he says, Let me speak a little more in detail about this knowledge. Knowing this knowledge, what happens? Knowing this knowledge, you go beyond the three gunas and attain the inner perfection, the Atma, the Self. So that is how he started this chapter 14. I will again declare the supreme knowledge, the best of knowledges, which having known all stages have gone from here to the ultimate perfection. Having taken refuge in this knowledge and attained unity with me, they are neither born even in creation nor disturbed in dissolution. Because this knowledge will now make you completely give up the identification with the body. Now, all our suffering is due to our identification. In this context, please remember that example I give. I am not found. I ran on a song. Remember the example. I stepped on a song. I ran on a song. Pond did not come and get into my position. So I am attaching. Why am I attaching? Ignorance. It's already happened from childhood. We see everybody, we send our thoughts and we start getting attached and we do not want to question. To question that is a torture. Because what is appearing to you as fact, question is not easy. See, what is appearing as fact, light coming from moon appears as fact. As if, and there is a lot of songs also in the movies and everything, you know, that chant or light and all that stuff. But is there light in chant? But there was somebody who questioned it, huh? We all took it for granted, but there was somebody who questioned it. But when they questioned, many of them were thrashed. When Galileo questioned and proved later on that this earth is flat, he was stoned to death. So this is what it is. To question the obvious, you need guts. So here he is discussing, he is saying that the Prakriti combined with Purusha has risen at this whole universe. And in this universe, Purusha is the Sat and Chit, the consciousness and existence principle that is eliminating the Prakriti and the various names and forms that come up. And the variety is due to what? Variety. Variety is due to Prakriti. Purusha has no variety, Purusha is only one. The variety show is due to Prakriti. Now, this Prakriti and Purusha playing together is you, me and the whole world. But in the combination, we are essentially the consciousness, because it is a consciousness that becomes energy and that becomes matter. Matter and energy are interchangeable. E is equal to mc square talks about this. Einstein's theory of relativity. Energy becomes matter, matter becomes energy. Energy can neither be created nor be destroyed. It can only be converted from one form to another, transformed from one form to another. So the consciousness becomes energy and the energy becomes matter. Now, we are now gross matter we have identified ourselves with. Shweta, Lakshmi Narayan. This is the gross matter which has got of energy. Right? Now it has sattvic energy, rajasic energy, tamasic energy. And according to our permutation combination, we are either called as sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. If sattva is predominant, you are called as sattvic. If rajas is predominant, you are called as rajasic. If tamas is predominant, you are called as tamasic. And a sattvic person is bound to what? Knowledge. He is interested in these kind of classes, discussions on higher things, inner growth, library. You know, if there is anything that he can do to learn some meditation techniques or something so that he can become more peaceful and more calm, balanced. This is where he is attached. Whereas a rajasic person is propelled by desire, passion. Therefore, he or she who is rajasic predominantly, they are attached to activity. restless. They need action. They're attached to activity. And tamasic person is attached to delusion, ignorance, heedlessness, sloth, sleep, etc. So, this is what he says, that sattva rajas tamas. So, know when sattva predominates, there is clarity, choice. You are very clear as to what is my choice. In fact, this is one of the things, since we were talking about school children, talks and all that, majority problem is this, what to study. Recently, since one of my niece is interested in joining some good colleges in India and abroad, she's trying, she's written that and all that. Here in Delhi, she wanted to go to this college in Sonipat, Ashoka University. I believe it's very good. So since it's near Delhi, she came here, I took her there. We had a campus visit recently. It's a very good college. And there, when they were giving us an introduction, they have fundamental course, what they call as fundamental course. It's designed the same lines as Harvard, Yale and all that. So they have fundamental courses. And they say about 11 fundamental courses you have to finish in the span of 3 years. And the first year, you have to minimum do some 4 or 5, something like that she said. And you can change. But pretty much in the second semester to Bart you cannot change. But in the first 2 semesters, by then you will know what is probably your calling. And then you can take the major and then you can get a little deeper into that. Imagine somebody who has gone through education and 17 years of study. And in the Indian system, after 10th you are supposed to decide, you know, which one, like that. But it need not be, and in many cases it's conditioned by parents and everybody. So the choice, because once you have chosen, then there is a consequence to it. You know? So what choice? That's clarity a sattvic person has. How come a sattvic person has clarity? What is preventing you from thinking clearly? So correct, attachment.
Conditioned to
the attachment from mix of others and
some more
maybe than that. The mala means dirt. So when there is a river flowing, if there is too much dirt flowing in the river bed is not clear. What also is not clear, you can't see. But when the dirt is removed, you can see. What is the dirt? The dirt is this rajas and tamas. So when rajas, the desires and the tamasic tendencies, heedlessness, indolence, all this is handled, you become purified. And then it becomes clear to you. Let them say whatever they want. Let the whole world go towards this or that. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. The first chapter, Arjuna was in a very predominantly rajasic level. He in fact admits in the second chapter only, saying that I am confused what to do. Many times, when it is somebody else's choice, we seem to be wise. But when it is our own, difficulty also there. Because to be objective to oneself is even more difficult. Because we get personalized. It's extremely difficult. Should I do this?
It's a step forward, right? When you admit that
it is. In fact, it is not just a step forward. It is one of the most important steps to learn. I think I know, my learning stops. So, this is why Gita will start. Gita started after Arjuna accepted that. So, in the beginning he talks about sattva, rajas, tamas. All the three binds. Sattva binds a person to knowledge.
rather than find the person to activate. They are constantly interested in activity. They cannot work upon it. The best example of a highly energetic workaholic, greedy, you know, that sort of thing. Tamasic person keep on postponing, not ready to face the situation, thinking that without facing the situation will be automatically solved by itself. Or trying to escape. All these are emerging. He will be bound, his intellect, his mind, everything will be bound like that. So that is what he says from verse number 5, 6, 7 and all that. And then he says, when the rajas predominates over sattva and tamas, you become a rajasic person. When sattva predominates over rajas and tamas, you become a sattvic person. When tamas predominates over rajas and sattva, you become a tamasic person. In this verse, what he is trying to tell you is, even though you have these three gunas, you have also what is called as willpower. What is called as purushartha. Now using this purushartha, you must do what? Enhance sattva. Control rajas and definitely eliminate tamas to start with. Otherwise, you will never be able to increase sattva. Right? And the purpose of life, when you look at it from spiritual angle, you do whatever you want. But while you are doing anything that you do, you should be increasing your sattva. Whatever you may do. So if today 24 hours have gone by, next day morning I must ask, this 24 hours have I increased sattva? Now I have got another opportunity to live. And in this opportunity, let me increase sattva. Now when you think like this, then you pretty much become a shudra. What is that? I'm just putting it this way. Shudra means, let's say, just a not demean or anything. The word from the scripture I'm using, tradition, who keeps on cleansing? Right, which is the greatest service, not to be, unfortunately due to certain political minds over a period of time in the Brahminical and Kshatriya group, this nonsense has happened, which is very bad. Because of that, India is still suffering. So, but what are you doing? Constantly cleansing your tamas and rajas. Nothing else. And there is this American humorist, I don't know the name, he says, there is so much good in the worst of us. There is so much bad in the best of us. Therefore, it ill behoves us to talk about the rest of us. Why not I, that's why in the poem Duck in the Act, the poet says, as you remark another sin, with thine own conscience and look within, control their more voracious will, not the rapist nation's greed. Instead of, the moment you see some fault in somebody, immediately ask yourself, do I have the same fault? And most likely you may. Maybe exaggerated amount of fault you may have. Or you may not have that, you may have something else. Keep correcting yourself. And when you are focusing on correcting yourself, where is the time for you to talk about anybody else? The energy that is wasted in criticizing others is that much energy, if you conserve and invest in your growth, you will do better. That's all. So here when he says, if sattva predominates or sattvic, rajas predominates rajasic, tamas predominates tamasic, it doesn't mean that it will go that way. You can change the flow. You can change it. It's in your hands. Thy destiny in thy hands. You can change the flow. How? By constantly working at the sattva. It's not... See, that is why adat is very important. That's why tradition now becomes very important. Traditionally, if you go by tradition, according to their wisdom, they wanted to implant the value system when you were young. Remember, we have two circles. One circle is habit circle, other circle is willpower circle. Now, willpower is a portion of your prefrontal cortex in the brain. The prefrontal cortex itself kind of develops mainly between the period of 12 to 25. Some will not develop after that. But when you are starting, already the first circle shuru ho gaya, kya? Habit circle. So for the first few years, if you have a habit circle which has been formed and laid down and become so strong in a negative way, and it itself becomes a difficulty enough as an obstacle to start the other circle, strengthening the other circle, willpower circle. Are you with me? And even if you start the willpower circle, the strength of the willpower in reference to the habit circle is very, very less. Then finally, who will win? Habit. That is why they say you create a good habit in the beginning itself, so that your willpower, it will aid the development of willpower, and it will also help you, having developed the willpower, handle the habits which will also be in that life. Otherwise it becomes extremely difficult. That is why Swami Chinmayananda and many people, they started Balavihar. Balavihar is extremely important. And in our tradition, the traditional practices give you values. If you study the Puranas, the values make you think also, and there are values ingeniously planted. No? So, you must concentrate on certain disciplines by creating certain positive habits. So, in the 17th chapter, we'll talk about even food habits. Food, yajna, dana, tapa, all that is going to talk. So, that you focus, eliminate tamas and rajas, and increase sattva. Now, sattva increases, what is the benefit? If sattva increases, you will have clarity, peace of mind. You will have wisdom. The wisdom streams forth through your all pores of the body, meaning your perceptions, mind and intellect. You will not fall for the temptation the world offers. You will be able to say, get thee behind me, Satan. So you will, your intellect will be strong to control your mind. Then means your sattva is strong. If rajas is predominant, there will be greed. Wanting more and more. The typical quality of rajas. See, rajas goes after acquisition of material well-being. Sattva is interested in the internal well-being. It's not against material well-being, but it is not giving priority to the material acquisition. So rajas is more of name, fame, power, position, money, etc. And it is constantly undertaking work. The mind is so restless, it needs something to hold on to. So, workaholism. And since the desire is more than the acquisition, there is constant unrest. They are never happy. They still feel that it's insecure. It's not enough. The tamas predominates. Total delusion and heedlessness. There is no logic, reason in what they do. They just follow superstition. So, therefore, if any of this is there, these are indications to me. Now, if you are living a life, you must live your life to increase sattva. So what is the purpose of life? To annihilate tamas and rajas and increase sattva and go beyond sattva. Now, when a person dies, this is the only thing that he or she takes. Nothing else. You know, the bones that we take from the cremated body and merge it in the rivers, the bones are called as pushpa, because the fragrance in the pushpa is already gone.
This is the sattva rajas.
And your travel will depend upon what is predominating. You will choose the womb that is conducive for that. You remember the sixth chapter also we studied, no? Nahi kalyanakrit kaschit durgatim tatagacchati. If you have done good actions, you will get good environment. Because you are predominantly vibrating in that frequency, then that energy will seek the womb. That is why Swami Nathita says, in fact, your children are your parents. You are not parents to your children. Because your children chose you to be born through you, according to their vasana. So they chose you. In that sense. So, you choose the environment. So even now you have an option. Many places you can go. What predominates at the time, accordingly you choose the environment. So at the time of death, if sattva predominates, you go to a sattvic environment which will be conducive for inner growth. If rajas predominates, you will be born in the rajasic environment which is conducive for rajas. You will be in the middle. Sattva goes upward. Rajas goes middle. Upward means what? Inner growth. You eradicate vasanas, you increase peace, you increase clarity. Rajas predominates, you go middle. Middle means you would be swelling, not growing, but swelling, acquiring. But what you don't understand is, these things that you are acquiring, in itself is essentially what? Transitory. Passing, fleeting. That is why when inflation goes up or they announce this demonetization, those kind of stuff gives you a lot of tension. Why? Because it is reminding you that from what you were taking comfort, in itself is passing and fleeting. So then you suddenly realize, oh my God, I then wasted my life not trying to take shelter in something that is not passing and fleeting. So Vedanta is not against contacting that which is passing and transitory. For transactional purposes you need them, but do not take shelter in them. Let not your strength come from your assets, from your jewels. Let it come from the knowledge. And that knowledge cannot be stolen by anybody. And in fact, the more you share, the more the knowledge becomes clearer. Isn't it? That's the unique thing about this knowledge. Everything else in this, not only this knowledge, any knowledge, especially this knowledge. Because this knowledge cannot be stolen. And this will give you confidence. Your confidence is not coming from external paraphernalia. It is coming from within. So when rajas predominates, you are going longitudinal, not latitudinal. When sattva predominates, you go latitudinal. When tamas predominates, what happens? He says, you are born in a senseless world. Meaning, you are giving yourself into instincts. More to all. Then what happens is, you are not living the life of a human being. You are living the life of a janvar in the human body. And in the human body, janvar is not allowed to live for long. Either put him in the prison or you put him in the asylum or something like that.
Greed.
Tamas is sense indulgence.
That also giving his senses. Both are giving
sense. See, rajasic fellow, he even controls his sense indulgences to acquire.
So energy is there.
Yeah. This tamas energy is only drained in, you know, tamasic indulgences.
Gambling.
Tamasic
is indulgence.
Yeah, he doesn't want to work and
both
have to do the same.
But
tamasic is giving
in
general,
that's more
indulgence. Tamasic?
In order to acquire.
Yes. There are a lot of sacrifices they have to do.
Directly towards that.
Yeah. This is size zero. And all this, you know. I mean, I'm not saying you should not be Saisuro, but that is a big, pressure. Somebody is sitting in France and deciding what you should wear, and accordingly you have to get into your body. You know, there is so much of, effort, there is so much of sacrifice. There is not, in Tamas fellow doesn't want to do any of them. Tamas fellow doesn't want to do any of them. After the class, just remind me, I may forget. I want to say something. Right, but whatever I said, please don't take any of, don't take personal, but let me say something after the class. I don't want to say it now. So tamas is draining of energy, and you're giving into animal passion, not in human body. So you will be given a senseless word. If you look at it from one angle, it is devolution. From another angle, it is evolution. Because at least temporarily you are given some time to go be mad and come back. You know, I remember about 7-8 years ago, there was a talk organized in LG Group, television, fridge and all that they have. They have this huge factory in Greater Noida. So we went there for a talk. Then they are showing us the campus and all that. They have a room. And most of the industries they have. They have something called creative room or something. You go to meditate, do whatever you want to come out. He was telling me, the CEO was telling me, some of the industries they have rooms just to go and take out your frustration from. There are all the properties and just pillows, just go and hit the pillow, draw the diagram of the picture of your boss, and then imagine that he's the boss and punch that fellow's face. You know, all sorts of things. See, it's madness, no doubt, but temporarily at least that fellow cools up. You know? So when I'm saying this now, I was reminded of that. Then only I knew, okay, this kind of things are also happening, but it's temporary, it's not permanent. Because the cause is still there. You have to remove that cause, ultimately. But it does help temporarily, no doubt, when you take it out. Now think of it. The tamasic fellow is given environment accordingly. Because your thoughts are running in the direction. You choose the womb according to what is predominating. So when you die, if sattva predominates, you choose sattvic environment in the next womb. Tamasic, rajasic accordingly. So, therefore, it becomes extremely important. Rather, you want to ask about death and all that, why is he talking? When he's talking about death, means he's trying to tell us before death, and death can come any time. Now, therefore, now understand that your only purpose, or the priority purpose, is to increase sattva. Therefore, in some chapters you want to say, even food, which is conducive to increase sattva, you get it. And the sattva will increase if you exercise some control over tamas and rajas. It is painful, no doubt. Not giving in to tamas and rajas and exercising control over your rajas and tamas is a painful thing. But you must do it. When you do that, the fruit of good action, they say, is sattvic, and the fruit of rajas is sorrow, the fruit of tamas is ignorance. You remain continuing. Delusion. So from sattva arises knowledge, from rajas greed, and from tamas heedlessness, procrastination, etc. So a sattvic fellow moves upwards. Rajasic fellow moves in the middle way. Tamasic fellow goes down. Therefore, we need to grow. See, growth is essential. Spirituality is not against growth. Spirituality is against swelling. In this world, unfortunately, swelling is misconstrued as growth. That's the problem. All this work-life balance issues, all that is coming, why? Because you are trying to swell. The other areas have not paid attention. Then based on you understand, I should have paid attention there. Then you suffer. Therefore, the sorrow is the fruit of rajas, and when the tamas predominates,
What happens? Knowledge, sorrow and delusion, ignorance. He will think that something becomes all right in the stars, his life will change. So he is waiting for the stars to change. He is not thinking that his destiny is in his hands.
Yes.
So he is going on trying to, you know, correct those kind of things. Living in a certain delusive thing. See, they are interconnected. Jyotish is no doubt knowledge. But in Jyotish itself they say one third is Purushartha. That's why when you read the Puranic stories of Markandeya's story and all that, have you read Markandeya's story? No. Markandeya's story is that he is supposed to be taken to Yamaloka when he is 16. Right. So Markandeya, the Yama comes to this Pasha, this throne. Markandeya is running, he's throwing it on him. He goes and hugs Lord Shiva. So the Yama's rope falls on Shiva's, and then Shiva comes and then he says, give him moksha. He is eternally 16. That's the story. What they are trying to tell us, what they are trying to tell us is, you have two parallel lines. One line is prarabdha, destiny, created by your past actions. Other line is purushartha, the choice that you have today. Right? So with this choice, you can influence the prarabdha over a period of time. Your present is as per your past. Future is what? Past modified in the present. So therefore focus in modifying. But the tamasic fellow is not focusing in modifying. Rajasic fellow, he thinks modifying means external paraphernalia. Sattvic fellow understands what is modifying. He goes about modifying, restructuring his subconscious, restructuring his vasanas and everything. Therefore, like the poem Pineapple the Bee says, with hopeless wish one looks and lingers, one breaks the glass and cuts his fingers, but they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather again from a bee. It is a painful thing, but worth investing. So then, he said, when the seer with developing more sattva perceives no other agent other than purusha functioning and gunas, other than prakriti functioning, the gunas are functioning, I am purusha, I am a non-dual, he doesn't get involved. And without being a non-doer, he gathers no putya, no power. So he says that the seer perceives no agent other than the gunas, qualities, and knows the higher beyond the gunas, which is purusha, he attains my being. So when sattva goes on increasing, then you clearly see, clarity comes. I was sleeping in the train. Train was moving. Where did I move? Gunas are functioning. I am the purusha, atma. Where am I doing anything? Why am I unnecessarily getting involved? When somebody is talking ill about me, they are actually talking about prakriti. Purusha has more qualities. Why do I get involved and increase my vasana? He doesn't get involved. He crosses the gunas. Now then Atma asks, what are the traits of a person who has crossed the gunas and how will you cross the gunas? How do you cross the gunas? First, studying and understanding about it. Number one. You must have the courage to face it, study and understand. The more you understand, the more you can control. I told you already. We had a lot of fear about this thunder, lightning and all that. But then with knowledge, now we use them in science. So, how do you cross over? You cross over by firstly understanding about them. Meaning what? Studying the 14th chapter properly. And then what you have to do? Then you
should become objective to their presence in you and in others. You must understand, iniquity, like Jesus Christ says, iniquity there shall be. Want you if you be the cause of it. That's what he says. Similarly, there will be sattva rajas tamas in you around everywhere till you realize the sense. So that sattva rajas tamas, the presence of it, you should not crave for, or the absence of it, you should not be dejected. You must be balanced. And that balance is possible only when you focus on something higher. Otherwise it's not possible. So he says, life, activity and even delusion, for Pandava, he hates not the present nor longs for them when absent. And then he seated like unconcerned to what is happening in the world, with the objectivity he functions, he realizes that only gunas are functioning, I am not the doer. So therefore what happens? In short, what he is saying is, he is functioning like a witness. He allows his perceptions, actions, emotions, thoughts to function in the world, but he remains a witness to it. A witness is not going to gain papa punya. He is just a witness. If you get involved, then you are. A hangman apparently doing the action which is very sinful, killing. But that's his job, and he doesn't even know many times. All the time. He doesn't know who is hanging on. Cloth covered the face. He is just doing it as per the judgment. Where is the question of any pap or punya? If he had some personal involvement, then yes. So therefore, how do you cross the gunas? You cross the gunas by not resisting them, or by not what is the opposite of resisting?
Giving in, getting involved. Getting involved
in the intelligence. Neither you turn for, yes, nor you turn against. You focus on the higher good. In fact, if you are really sacred, you will do it. You will not, you will refuse to get involved. Otherwise you will get involved as this politician, this fellow, that fellow, going on. You all these things can back. Otherwise you understand. These fellows, sattva, rajas, tamas will function. They will continue functioning like this. Whatever I can do, I will do. But I am not going to get involved in it. It would be like the Yudhishthira in the last stage in the Mahabharata. It's old kith and kin. Let us go up the mountain. You can catch up, otherwise I am not going to stop. There is no point in getting involved. You must understand that. You be here, do whatever you can to do the change. But follow what Mahatma Gandhi said. Be the change that you wish to see. You work on yourself and progress. Otherwise they will drag you. Rather than you pulling them up, they will drag you. Like Swamiji said, I go lecture in every city for 4-5 days, not more than that. I don't stay in any house for more than 5 days, because more than me changing the possibilities, you may change me. Yes, he puts it very lightheartedly, but that's a fact. We get involved. So he says, he is unconcerned, he doesn't get involved. And such a person, for him, he is understood that Kanchana, different varieties of the stone, earth, samaloshtashma kanchana, means wealth, the gold, stone and earth. For him, it's same. Why? Because all come under one category. What category? Trifle category, transitory category. In this trifle category, some are precious. Why they are precious? Availability is less. Charcoal is also carbon. Charcoal is also carbon. Diamond is also carbon. Right? But diamond is more considered more precious. Why? Because it's not available as much as charcoal. But at the end of the day, both are carbon. Therefore, samaloshtashma kanchanaha, to be balanced, to be able to become fit for Brahman, The world should not disturb you. World should not disturb you positively or negatively. World should not disturb you positively or negatively means what? It should not be occupying your mind. Preoccupation in the mind is what is spoken against, not the occupation. Unfortunately, we misunderstand Vedanta there also. Oh, Vedanta means it is against occupation. Who said that? Vedanta is against preoccupation, not against occupation. So, samarosa ashtakantra means what? No preoccupation. Our mind is preoccupied. For us, work becomes means to fulfill our preoccupations. Isn't it? I must get the diamond. If I must get the diamond, then I must work. And therefore, work is not a purpose in itself. Work is a means. That is my intention and all that. So therefore, is a the person who's got this ability, he is fit for attaining Brahman. He remains neutral to honor and dishonor, heat and cold, to pleasure, pain, anything external, internal. And what will he be? He will be unswerving yogi. Whatever you forget, don't forget that. It's a very beautiful verse. What? Mamcha yogya vicharana. Avya vicharana. Yoga. Bhakti. Your bhakti should be unswerving, unprostituting. I must get there. I must increase my sattva. I do not want to get involved in rajas and tamas. Tamasic people around, rajasic people around will try to attract the tamas and rajas in me. And that is where I need to be careful. That is why they say, if necessary, take the help of a guru, shastra, good people, company, whatever. Because that is extremely important in your own interest. You must try to use all this to increase your unswerving devotion means identification. The purpose of life is to get there. I'm not going to get involved in any of them. I will do. I have obligation to my parents, I have obligation to my children, wife, friends, relatives, society, country, organization, everything. But I am not going to get involved in any of them. I can do and go, but I will not get involved. A river is very clear. Its focus is to get back to the ocean. Ganges is originating in the Himalayas, but where is its focus? In Bay of Bengal. So while it is going flowing towards Bay of Bengal, it is passing through so many states, isn't it? All these states, it gives fertility, it gives everything, whatever, it makes them fertile, everything it gives. But it is not going to get involved in any of the states. Its focus is very clear. I must get to Bay of Bengal. There is no reason for me to get involved. So that's what he's saying. He who serves me, me means Atma, identifies with Atma, with unswerving yoga. Don't get tempted by this and that. Recently somebody came to Delhi to visit me. They were coming from Dubai. Now they said when they took the flight, they announced, they gave him an offer. If you take the next flight, we'll give you the next flight free. But he didn't take the flight. Some of us can. There are temptations throughout our lives. We can fall. In fact, the negative things are not the problem. Your real distractions, what are your real distractions?
Attractions.
Your attractions are your distractions. A doting mother, I don't want to take the thing. A mother who has been doting on her daughter, because she has only one daughter and three sons. And unfortunately, the daughter went through a tough life. She lost her husband and all that really. So her attachment even worse. Now the same daughter has filed a case against the mother. Your attractions are the distractions. You don't question your attractions. You don't question people who flatter you. You question people who criticize you. How dare you talk to me about me like that?
criticized him.
The fellow who is slapping, King Lear, first two doctors are slapping him. The fellow fell for this. The last one was straightforward. She said the right thing. He banished her. And then what happened when he literally roamed in the streets of England mad, and the last one came to help him, both of them died. So, you've
so
got...
how should the mother react?
To whom?
To this daughter who has filed the case.
Once the case has been filed, you have to deal with it legally. I will deal with it legally. My
not, why would it reach a stage when there is...
Why do you?
Why did it reach a stage when there was a case? Because if she was in that suburb mode and giving everything to the child...
Definitely not the suburb mode. सत्व मोड में क्या कहाँ पर अटैचमेंट है सत्व मोड में लव होगा
अटैचमेंट
है सत्व है माई चाइल्ड बोथ साइड अटैचमेंट बोथ साइड अटैचमेंट सी आई एम टेलिंग यू इफ यू राफ्टर सेज इज वेरी क्लियरली इफ यू अटैच यू लूज इट डिटैच यू गेन अटैच यू लूज इट इट्स अ लॉ. And if you pamper, supposing you have two, three kids and one child is pampered more, other child you are a little bit disciplined and all that, invariably you see the child that you pampered and given more and more is asking for more action. You will see that when they grow up also. The disciplined children are thinking in terms of what they can do for the parents and all that. But the pampered one who has actually been given more, he says, no, what have you given? You've seen this in very and fall in line with you because you make their mind, asking mind and shallow mind, so that is why they are like that. That's why you need to put your foot down. To say no is very important. Of course you should learn how to say it, but you must say no. That's important. So here, he who serves me with unswerving yoga of devotion, he having duly crossed this gunas is fit for becoming Brahman. Such a person becomes Brahman. And when he becomes Brahman, he becomes mortal, immutable, changeless. He is not identified with his body anymore. Even before physically dying, he has become deathless because he is birthless. And that is the abode of Brahman. And he attains that absolute bliss. So this is the summary of chapter 14. In this, the nut, the guts of the chapter is, you are made of Prakriti and Purusha. Prakriti is Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. You got to identify with Purusha using your Purusha Artha and increase your Sattva. When Sattva becomes 100%, you transcend Sattva and you reach Brahman. You got to become witness, not to get involved. You must refuse to get involved. You go about playing, everything is fine. But I will not get involved. And therefore, you must first strengthen yourself before you get involved. Before you get involved. It's easier said than done. No. You will say, I'll go inside the bar but I will not drink. It's easier said than done. Once you are inside, then there is a possibility that you may get more. So first strengthen and then enter. That is why first knowledge and then get into the world. Anywhere in the world it is like that, no? First you go to school, gain knowledge and then go to the world. And that is why you are studying. The temptation, the world should be less tempting. So the prefrontal cortex is very weak. And unfortunately, and it's not fair to have an environment which is extremely tempting and tell the children to study. This is one part of it which we need to be very careful. Unfortunately, in the West and some of the colleges in the East, here, they follow that model in the name of freedom. See, they have not yet got strong prefrontal cortex. And if you have an environment which is absolutely tempting, it's not fair on them. We are not being really fair to them. It's very difficult. It's very tough. It's like you keep a child here around all the chocolates and everything and tell the child to control. It's not fair, you know. So we need to understand. The prefrontal cortex, once it is strengthened, then it's okay. But just because somebody has become 18, and to presume that their prefrontal cortex has become strong is not correct. So let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Kaina vacha, manasendriyeva, manasendriyeva, buddhyatmanava, prakriti svabhavat, karomi adhyat, sakalam parasmahi, narayana yeti samarpayami.